Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Short. Jake Barnett is joining me, as always. So we are here to talk about WWE SmackDown, the SmackDown that aired on January the 11th, 2013. The return of The Rock live to SmackDown for the first time in 10 years is how they built it. Rock, of course, has been back before with some video packages, but this is the first time he has appeared on the SmackDown show in 10 years. And a pretty good show this week. Jake and I are going to talk about this show from start to finish. We'll talk a little bit, too, about Monday's Raw and just, you know, kind of break down what's going on with CM Punk and The Rock and Rock's appearance on SmackDown and everything else that's going on, including a new World Heavyweight Champion. But, of course, that's not the only audio that's been on the site each week, and it's not the only time we've talked about this. Jason Powell and I talked about it on Thursday during our flagship show. We call that .NET Weekly. Jason and I get together every week, talk about all the news of the week, all the break news that's not made its way to the site. We broke the news. Well, I guess breaking the news is a wrong term because TNA put it out there, but it came out while we were recording that TNA had dropped down to 4 pay-per-views this year, so we spent a lot of time talking about that this week. Obviously, The Rock and CM Punk and their beginning of their build for their match at the Royal Rumble was discussed. All kinds of news this week. Jason and I do that every week. It's a pretty good show, somewhere between 2 and 3 hours every week to cover the news. So we do that audio each and every week. That's our flagship show, but there's more. Jason Powell does a WWE Raw review, usually on Monday night. Will Pruitt comes along, usually on Fridays. There's a TNA Impact Wrestling audio review. Jake and Will get together during the week to do the .NET countdown and look at the best and the worst of professional wrestling. Jason Powell does a Q&A audio on Friday where members can ask both questioning and not both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. A little tongue-tied this morning. And then, of course, like I said, .NET Weekly every single week. There's other audio that comes in all the time. Got interviews lined up, and you never know when we're going to be able to catch a good one and put those out there for you guys. So, and all the old stuff that we've done, all the old interviews are still sitting out there. Just in the past few months, I did interviews with Ring of Honor champion Kevin Steen, his buddy Steve Corino. We've got some more in the pipe. There's old interviews out there Jason Powell did with Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, all of that's still available in our archives and available to .NET members. If you'd like access to all of that, all you got to do is become a .NET member, and in addition to the audio, you'll get access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member form, and the .NET member blog section. All you got to do is head on over to ProWrestling.net, click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up. Click there, we'll get you started for just $7.50 a month. Knock it down to $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, and there's never a better time than right now to sign up to be a member. It is WrestleMania season. There's no question about it. If you saw Monday's Raw, the build for WrestleMania has begun, even if the Royal Rumble and the Elimination Chamber happened in between. It is Mania season. The creative team is plugged in and active. Looks like Vince McMahon is plugged in and active, and we've got a really good build going on. And, you know, one of the things that we didn't expect, Jake, as we talk about this show, you know, we knew The Rock was going to be on the show, and we figured that would be the biggest news, and arguably it still is, but perhaps the most noteworthy news coming out, at least as far as changes we didn't expect, we've got a new World Heavyweight Champion, Alberto Del Rio, beating The Big Show in a last-man-standing match at the end of this show to become the World Champion. WWE surprisingly spoiling their own spoiler, according to, or at least the way he replied, according to Joey Styles on Twitter. The reason they did it was to prevent sites like ours from spoiling it, but that's, you know, who knows if Joey was just messing with a fan or if that's the honest to God truth. At any rate, Jake, we got a new world champion. Do you like the move, and were you as surprised by it as I was?
Yeah, I was surprised, you know, and still am to some degree, just based on, you know, the reaction that we saw for both Del Rio and The Big Show throughout the broadcast tonight, because, you know, they really tried hard here to crown Del Rio the hero, and I'm not sure, just based on crowd reaction alone, that he achieved that, and I guess time will tell, and I put in my report that I wasn't sure if it was, you know, the way the crowd was mic'd, or if, you know, it's just a quiet audience, or how it all panned out, but it definitely didn't seem like Del Rio got the reaction at the babyface they were looking for, and I thought Big Show got bigger reactions just with people testing it, and that was, that seemed you know, pretty telling to me at least, but I'm willing to give it a shot and see how it plays out. At this point, I'm, know, I was happy with the match, and it was fun to watch, but I'm kind of puzzled by the title change unless they have something in plans for Dolph Ziggler here in the near future.
Yeah, that seems to be the general feel, is that Dolph Ziggler is going to cash in at this point. I mean, there's, you know, we don't know that, but that certainly makes sense. Dolph Ziggler playing the heel right now. You've got the champion is now a babyface with Del Rio. Granted, for the longest time, we wasn't really sure what the hell he was. He was doing babyface things, and then he tried to kill Santa and argued that it wasn't his fault and got beat up for it. Then he was a babyface again. So he's had probably the worst babyface turn since The Miz, and The Miz is still just kind of floundering around because they've never really established him. You know, at least Del Rio had somebody in Ricardo Rodriguez who was sympathetic enough that when he ran out and made the save, it kind of created a babyface situation. And I thought he had the crowd behind him at the end. They popped big for the finish. It was a, you know, it's in Miami where there is a heavy Latino population, and you know, Del Rio, I mean, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it as a surprise. You want to try to make, you know, set it up as good as possible where the champion is going to get a big reaction, and they did that here. So I don't know either. I don't know where they're going with this, but I, like you, assume there's going to be a Ziggler involvement at some point. So that begs the question then, do you think Ziggler heads into WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion?
I would not be surprised by that at all. I mean, I don't know how long they're going to have to hold off on having him cash in, and it could be the Elimination Chamber where he cashes in, you know, just prior to WrestleMania. But it's hard to say. But I really do, you know, like the idea of Big Cole that time heading into WrestleMania. I think there's a lot of interesting matches that could be added. But he can work with just about anybody, and there's, you know, they do have, you know, quite an interesting young roster to tinker with and figure out who they want to send after him. So I'm optimistic about the idea. I'll just have to let it play out as far as the Del Rio thing, just because I think the crowds are so tepid, they don't know how to react to him yet, that it may take a few weeks or a month as champion before they really know what to do about it.
Yeah, I think people still kind of want to boo him because they did for so long. So I think maybe that's a little bit of the confusion. But I think they can get him there really, really fast. Like I said, you've got Ricardo Rodriguez running around hugging him, and it wasn't like, you know, his wins before where Rodriguez would either, you know, have to sell himself out and get knocked out to be able to for Del Rio to get the win, or be really arrogant when it was introducing him as a new champion. They were hugging, and you know, Del Rio was putting on the borderline crying act and whatnot. So it was, you know, it was, they did what they needed to do here. They've just done, it's just been done so poorly as a build to this. It kind of came out of nowhere. So, you know, we're sitting here heading into the Royal Rumble. I would guess at this point we're going to get a rematch for this at the Rumble. That'll be the World Heavyweight Championship match at the Rumble. So, you know, what does this change your thoughts about what's going to happen at the Rumble and all? I mean, the Rumble can be either a SmackDown or a Raw guy winning. I'm still holding firm to the belief that John Cena is going to win the Rumble, and that's how they're going to get to him, The Rock, again at WrestleMania. But where are you on this?
Yeah, that's kind of what I imagined. I mean, I don't know. You know, obviously, we have no ahead knowledge of what's going to happen at these shows. But I would think if the goal is to get to Cena and The Rock, and that seems to be the story they want to tell with Cena, that 2013 year of his redemption, you know, then it makes sense to me that the one, you know, standing tall at the end of the Rumble match, and assuming that, you know, The Rock picks up the WWE title, whether it's at the Rumble or at Elimination Chamber, I guess I don't know, but, you know, I'm assuming that they're going to start that build right away. So I would assume we see The Rock pick up a win at the Rumble and Cena, you know, challenge him literally seconds after he wins that match. I mean, I would think they want to start that build as soon as possible. And you know, what they do with SmackDown World Heavyweight Championship, I guess, you know, they'll have a couple of months to figure that out. But I think there's a lot of talent floating around kind of aimlessly at this point. There's plenty of people that can plug in and have some fun with that.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm still holding fast to that. We'll see how it plays out. But it begs the question then, if that's the case, who is the challenger? I mean, if you think that Dolph Ziggler will be champion at WrestleMania, who do you think he faces? Who do you see on the horizon that they could get a good match out of? And as kind of an aside to that, do they need to make the switch to Dolph pretty quickly to build to it? Does he have enough oomph behind him right now to be in a title match at WrestleMania? And granted, it's the World Heavyweight Championship match, and we've seen it. They're kind of about that. It opened the show several times, and we had the 18-second match last year and whatnot. So we know they can be flippant with this title at WrestleMania if they want to be. But let's assume they're not. Do you think that there's someone out there that they can build to that Dolph Ziggler can have a great story with?
Yeah, I do. And I think, that it seems to me that they're kind of heading towards Sheamus and Orton, which may or may not involve the title. I wouldn't necessarily be surprised to see a multiple person match for the World Heavyweight Championship, just because they don't seem to have any mental block as far as treating that title with a little bit less respect than the WWE title. I don't think we'll see a multiple person match for the WWE title at WrestleMania, but I could see a four way match that develops out of whatever feud they set up for the Elimination Chamber. Depending on when they pull the trigger on the briefcase, if and when they do that. So there's a lot of people that I could see fitting in there. Sheamus, Del Rio, Big Show, Orton, the Team Hell No guys, I think they could fit them in there. I don't know if there's still going to be a tag team come WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan specifically, who is mega over. I think there's a lot of possibilities there, and there's a lot of good ones. So I'm optimistic about what they're going to be capable of at WrestleMania.
And, of course, the other big news, The Rock returning to SmackDown, and it's the first time in 10 years we got to see various video clips of Rock on SmackDown through the years. As pointed out, of course, the show named after one of his catchphrases. Rock came on and did his shtick, had some fun with Rhodes Scholars, and, it was a good performance from The Rock. CM Punk sent in some videos from Sun Life Stadium where WrestleMania was last year, and I really kind of ran down The Rock. And The Rock addressed CM Punk, but it seemed to me that he was on SmackDown to have more fun, whereas on Raw they were face-to-face and went at it. This seemed to be more The Rock having just fun with the fans, and even though he addressed CM Punk, he wasn't as serious as he was Monday.
Yeah, definitely not. And I think he took a few jabs at Punk for not showing up because he was said he was jazzed about being on SmackDown, his show, for the first time in 10 years in front of his hometown. And Punk had those vignette promos throughout the show, talking about The Rock's career in Miami and about his upbringing and his wife. So he was upset that he didn't show up, but he quickly tossed that aside to move on to he said he wanted to have some fun, and that's when he was interrupted. We had that pretty well comedy segment between him and Team Rhodes Scholar. So I thought he had a pretty good night, and I thought Punk had a real good night. They are really two very different characters from different eras, and their strengths are very different, and I thought they managed to touch on both of those tonight.
I want to give you an opportunity here to talk about Monday night. Jason Powell talked about it extensively. Both of us have posted blog articles about it. We're of the opinion that you can say that one person was better than the other Monday night, Rock and Punk. You could, say that Rock was better, Punk was better. You can say that you liked Punk more or liked Rock more. But one of the things that, we both talked about was that it's hard to say that the one guy won, one guy beat the other, because there wasn't a competition. It didn't feel like a competition like it did last year, where Cena and Rock were out there legitimately trying to one-up each other. This felt like two guys working together to sell a match. And while you may say, like I said, that one looked better after it was over, you enjoyed one better, I don't know that it's accurate to say that one guy beat the other. But I want to give you an opportunity to kind of weigh in what you thought about Monday night, and if you saw what we saw, or if you saw it differently.
Yeah, no, I mean, I commented on, you know, the countdown, and I had an article that went up Tuesday about Raw, where I just touched on it briefly, but there definitely was, you know, a lot. I didn't really feel the kind of adversarial relationship that I felt throughout that year-long build between, you know, The Rock and Cena, and not adversarial in the sense of, you know, we know they're facing each other trying to tell a story. I mean, that part of it is adversarial, but there was genuinely a bit of one-upsmanship between Cena and The Rock that carried over throughout their entire feud, and at times distracted from, you know, building to their WrestleMania match. And I didn't get that impression at all with The Rock and Punk. I mean, they're so vastly different in terms of, you know, who their characters are, that I think, you know, it's easy to, you know, say, well, this guy looked better than the other, because, you know, fans of Punk definitely are looking for a little bit more gritty realism from their wrestling product. And The Rock's fans would probably say the same thing, because they probably do enjoy, you know, his shtick and his larger-than-life type of personality and what he does in the ring. So I think both, you know, fans of both characters got what they wanted, and I think it sold a lot of pay-per-views, and it was a great promo. I mean, that's really all there is to it. And the fact that there's so many people arguing passionately about it should indicate it. How much of a success it was, instead of, you know, bickering about who got the better jabs. And I think, you know, like I said, fans of both characters got exactly what they came for.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed Punk more than I did Rock, and so I thought Punk was better because of that, but I didn't think Rock was bad. And that goes down to just a personal thing. For those who are, like, the Rock fans are going, no, Rock was better. And I'm not even going to argue the point. You know, it's like, okay, that's what you thought. Here's what I thought. We are both neither right nor wrong on this. It's what we enjoyed more. But, you know, I think Jason pointed it out in .NET Week, but the big clue is when Punk played along with the "it doesn't matter if you master" line. You know, he set that up for The Rock, and you don't set those lines up if you're not playing along. And Punk was really smart here. And, you know, this is going to be a wild build. These two are going to be at each other's throats for another couple, 3 weeks, and it's going to be fun to watch as we go along. But let's talk about this show. We'll break it down from start to finish. It's kind of funny, outside of the World Championship and The Rock, not a lot going on here. A lot of the same stuff we've seen before from WWE and some of their characters. But we'll go through this. Again, this was taped on the 8th of January in, of course, Miami, Florida. The Rock back home, where he went to school, where he grew up. We get the WWE version of the TNA opening video, where the narrator talks about things that happened. Lillian Garcia is in the ring to open the show when she introduces Booker T. Josh Matthews and JBL again checking out on commentary. Booker T comes out, makes a big hype, cuts a big hype promo, says that he promised SmackDown would start off with a bang in 2013. He said Raw was off the hook, but SmackDown was going to be better. He said that Raw gave fans Ziggler and Cena, so he was going to give them Antonio Cesaro and Randy Orton. He said that Raw delivered the great one, but that he was going to have The Rock inside the ring. Booker said that he was going to give the fans a World Heavyweight Championship match, Alberto Del Rio versus Big Show in a last man standing match. Got, you know, everybody was all hyped up, clapping about this, having a good time, but then show comes, they're playing, like, you know, regular old background music. I guess SmackDown, not their theme song, I think, but it's a song they generally play a lot. But Big Show comes storming out. No music from him. No big entrance. Just comes storming to the ring, yelling at Booker T. He grabs the microphone. He goes over and snatches the mic. I thought it was probably one of the funniest lines of the night. Show goes, there's 10 of you sitting here. What do you all do? To the guys at ringside over in, like, the timekeepers area. He grabs the mic. He stayed on the floor while he cut the majority of his promo, which I thought was interesting. He asked Booker if he had a vendetta against him, started complaining about it not being fair. He goes, I get it. You're going to put Del Rio in that match with me because he complained about how Booker was always putting him in these matches. And he goes, I guess we're in Miami, and that's why you're doing it, so that Del Rio can be the big Latino heel hero to all these people here. There are no Latino heroes. He's not a hero. Miami doesn't deserve a hero or a title match. You know, just really kind of strange promo a little bit, in the fact that it wasn't nearly as racially charged as I was afraid it was going to be, but it did seem to play play on, or not seem to, it played on some racial tendencies there, or at least just, you know, referring to race a little more than I would like. But no real disparaging of Latinos, just, you know, kind of Latinos don't deserve a hero was kind of as nasty as it got. But he goes in and starts threatening Booker T in the ring. Finally, Del Rio comes out, gets a couple of kicks to knock Big Show from the ring, leaving him pissed off and setting up their match for later. The segment was fine, and Big Show wasn't bad here on the mic. It was just kind of one of those things, you're getting into it, and you're kind of watching to see what he's going to deliver, and then he goes, Latinos don't deserve a hero, and you go, whoa, that's not what I expected him to say. So it wasn't bad, and it wasn't nearly as ugly as I was afraid it was, especially from reading your report. You talk about it being oddly racially charged. I thought, oh, God. And then when I watched it, I'm like, okay, I made it worse in my mind than it was going to be. But still, a little bit surprising, don't you think, with the way he kind of went after the Latino community?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty aggressive, just based on, he did say a couple of times, like you mentioned, that Latinos don't serve a hero, and then when he finally got back in the ring and he was just about to, put his hands on Booker T, like on his lapels or whatever, to kind of threaten him, he said, why are you so obsessed with giving these inferior people what they want? And I was like, inferior people? He's going to get, somebody's going to stab him as he's leaving the building later, it wasn't like outright racist, and there wasn't any horrible racist language in it. So I mean, it wasn't the worst that it could have been. But it surprised me for WWE in 2012 they would bring that much racial tension into an angle. But I guess it got a pop for Del Rio, and I guess it solidified him, obviously, as the baby face here, so I guess maybe they thought they had to do a little bit of extra legwork to get people to cheer for Del Rio, and I'm not even sure that it worked, since most people seem so caught off guard by the subject matter that they just kind of sat on their hands, but it definitely was a bizarre promo from my perspective.
Yeah, I guess I was more concerned that it was going to devolve into stereotypes, and it never got there. There was never any type of derogatory. When he came across to me more as when he dismissed Latinos, he was just dismissing everybody, and it just happened to be the Latinos were the ones who were there. And so he pointed that out. That's what I thought was where they found the balance that made it okay. But it was surprising when he started running down Latinos and whatnot. But I don't think it's anything that, excuse me, I can't imagine that Monday morning we're going to find out that, some group is upset about it. I don't think it ever devolved to that point. So they played the line well, I thought, here to be able to get a big cheer for Del Rio. And he got one. When he came out and made the save, he got a good pop, and he got a really great one at the end when he won the title. So not a terrible opening, but surprising and like I said, a little more racially tinged than I would have expected from WWE and their very safe corporate style of 2013. From there, we got some highlights of The Rock defeating Sean Stasiak for the World Heavyweight Championship back in 2001. It was one of many highlights that they showed throughout the show. We got hyping for the CM Punk pipe bomb, and Orton versus Cesaro was next, and it was. After the break, we got Randy Orton's music, Antonio Cesaro's music. We get a video that aired during Cesaro's entrance telling that he was going to be in the Royal Rumble, so I'm guessing no U.S. title shot there. He may pull double duty. We've seen plenty of guys do it. I don't think they have anybody for him right now, so they'll put him in the Rumble and maybe try to build a story from that there. Their first match of the night, Randy Orton defeating Antonio Cesaro by DQ at 9 minutes and 24 seconds. Pretty good match. Not a lot that went on here. It's, 9.5 minutes and probably close to half of that is in commercial break. And then we get the DQ finish with the Shield running out, but I thought they were working well together. It's something I'd like to see maybe on a pay-per-view where they could go out there and get 15 minutes and do that slow build that Cesaro likes to do and then finish hot. Orton is, really good in the ring, and Cesaro just amazing in the ring at times. And Orton, did him a lot of justice here. He sold his uppercut, the big pop-up uppercut that he does. He sold that like a million bucks. He went out of the way for the kid here and made him look good, but we get the Shield running out at the end just as Orton is setting up for the RKO. They beat him up, leave him laying, or leave him lying in the ring, gets a big triple power bomb again. I thought the match was fine for what it was. And I'm fine with the Shield coming in and doing the beat him down, because that way, you know, I have Cesaro with the loss and, you know, keeps his heel status and yada, yada, yada. But, I'm a little bit bored with the Shield right this second. Like, we've seen this, and it's like, okay, we know this is what you do, but, and the promos that they've done maybe three or four now, and they're all just a little bit cryptic still and whatnot. And I want a little more understanding of their motivation, a little more understanding of what they're doing and why they're doing it. So, this is fine, but I feel like we need more information at this point, because it's starting to get a little bit repetitive.
Yeah, they really haven't explained themselves particularly well. They had that opening debut vignette where they had all three of them speaking, and then they had a couple of very short promos in relation to their match for TLC with Ryback and Team Hell No, but they really haven't had a promo, with some exposition where they explained themselves since they first arrived, and they were part of that controversy with CM Punk and Ryback's title match. So it's been a long time where they've kind of just been coasting on showing up and beating people up. And, the crowds are booing them, which, obviously is a good first step. But that, I wish I had more to go on. And, they still have the announcers every time they give a beatdown, asking how this has to do with injustice and, what justice was served by this particular beatdown. And we never get anything from them. So, at this point, I kind of share your sentiment. I wish we had more to go on, and I wish it wasn't getting kind of boring, because I feel like they're just kind of on a treadmill at this point. They're staying in shape, and they look good out there, but I wish they had, a story to sink their teeth into, because they are getting pretty long in the tooth at this point.
Yeah, they're not damaged in any way, but it's right on that edge of, okay, guys, we get it. What's the next thing? You're wanting to take the next step, and it's not that anticipatory thing where you're like, oh God, I can't wait to see. It's like, we need to move on. I need a little bit more here. This isn't enough. You're still kind of spoon feeding me, and I'm past that. So hopefully more from the Shield coming up soon, but, we may even be building to, as Jason suggested, a six-man match. Maybe Sheamus and Orton and a third person take on the Shield. Maybe Ryback ties in there somehow, or maybe he's facing Big Show. Who knows? But maybe a six-man match with those guys. And maybe that's how they spin off into Sheamus and Orton. Maybe it's not at WrestleMania. That's the big feud after Mania. They use that match to get there. Who knows? But the Shield needs to take another step. I'm thinking with them kind of targeting Orton a little bit more now, that maybe we're going to get an advancement in that storyline. We'll wait and see how it plays out. After commercial, a recap of the previous segment with Matthews and JBL arguing over it. JBL not defending the Shield per se, not directly defending the Shield, but being more understanding, obviously, as Matthews complains about it. We go backstage to where Matt Stryker is talking with 3MB. Just a real weird-ass promo, no real surprise here. 3MB said they called, who was it, Slater's mom. He's Slater's mom, and she gave him a 10% chance to win the Rumble. What the hell was the point of this?
I couldn't even tell you. I don't know. It was such a goofball promo that I think they actually regressed throughout the thing, because it just felt like when they were done, they just walked away and headed out towards the ring, because they said, they talked about, well, there are three guys and there's 30 guys in the Rumble, so their mom said that gives them a 10% chance, and then, oh, wait, we got to go deal with the Irishman now, and then they just kind of walked off. It was the weirdest Seinfeld promo about nothing that I've ever seen.
Yeah, these guys are bad, and they're getting worse by the second. It's getting to be the situation. We get an introduction at that point for a video from CM Punk, and again, CM Punk at Sun Life Stadium. He's got Paul Heyman sweating in the background, holding up the big built as he cut his promo. He pointed out that, you know, it was Rock's last match. It's where Rock played for the Miami Hurricanes. And, you know, he said he was a huge fan, goes into about being a huge fan of The Rock, and even pulled out one of Rock's old college jerseys and put it on. You know, he pointed out that he goes, I'm right here where you play football. He goes, but you didn't actually play here, did you? You played at the Orange Bowl, but they tore that down. And he goes, just like the WWE, he completely tore it down. Punk said that Rock is going, you know, he goes, oh, look, I don't want to ruin your night. Go out there and stand in front of your friends and your family, stand in the people's ring, talk on the people's microphone, and say how you're finally back home. And he said, you know, The Rock may be back in Miami, but I'm going to show you at the Royal Rumble you can never go home. A good video here from Punk. I mean, it was the first of two, and it set up the second one really nicely as well. But if he's not going to be there, if he's going to send in a video like this, like kind of like Rock did last year, I like that kind of callback. I like to give Rock the opportunity to pop off and say some things to or about Punk not being there, which I thought was a nice twist. And again, I think in a lot of ways shows that Punk is playing along. This isn't a competition between the two of them. But just another solid Punk promo from CM Punk. We see what we get from him when he's engaged.
Yeah, he was great here, and the subject matter worked. I think he's doing a good job of really not appearing to give any ground. You know, he doesn't feel physically or intimidated at all by The Rock's presence, which is good. You know, he's the world champion, and he should be confident. And I think they're working his persona extremely well into this feud, and I think The Rock is responding well in his own way. So it definitely appears that Punk and The Rock have found a way to get along, and I think Punk indicated that after WrestleMania that The Rock had proven him wrong about his work ethic and whatnot. So it seems like they have found a way to coexist and actually work together to put over this match, and I think it's going to be a smashing success just based on what we've seen so far.
Dolph Ziggler and his crew make their appearance. At this point, they make their ring entrance. We went to commercial when we came back. We didn't go right back to them. Del Rio's talking to Matt Stryker. Said that Big Show was a bully and didn't understand the Latino community. He said he was going to show Big Show what La Familia meant, and he would leave Miami as the world heavyweight champion. Pretty, basic, cut and dry, paid by numbers promo to get him to the main event. Nothing really special there, but not bad either. Great Khali is, they finally go back to the ring at that point. Khali is makes his entrance with Natalya and Hornswoggle for our second match of the night. Dolph Ziggler and AJ defeating the Great Khali and Natalya in 2:30. Pretty much so this was Khali beating up Ziggler, Ziggler tagging in AJ, Natalya beating up AJ, and then AJ biting Natalya and finally hitting a slow version of sliced bread number two for the win. And then Biggie Langston jumps in the ring. He and Ziggler beat up both Khali and Hornswoggle, leaves him lying in the ring. I pop big for this because I hate Khali and Hornswoggle, but other than me and possibly you, I don't think that AJ and Dolph and Biggie Langston gained a whole lot from this.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like the point of this was just to put over just how absolutely insane AJ is. I mean, she bit Natalya in the knee to escape a sharpshooter. And then Natalya recovered briefly and backed her into a corner. And then AJ, pulled a Mike Tyson and started, biting at her face. And Natalya was so shocked, and the ref, didn't break it up for several seconds. And then all of a sudden, sliced bread and it's over. So it was kind of a bizarre match that really seemed to focus on AJ completely falling off the, her meds or something. I'm not sure. But it was kind of intense.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what was gained here, but thanks for putting them on TV. And like I said, I popped big for it because I hate Khali and Hornswoggle, so maybe it was for me. Thank you, WWE. More comments from CM Punk at that point. We get our second video from Punk. He said he thinks Rock's convinced himself that he's a hero that's come to save the people. Most of the people didn't deserve to be saved. They deserve to rot in hell. He said that he better thank the people, or he's better than the people, and that he's better than The Rock. Heyman took over and asked Rock if he bothered him. He said bothered him that Punk was better than him. Heyman very good here, I thought. He said it shouldn't because Punk is better than everyone. He's the best in the world. Heyman said that the people's version, the people's vision was that The Rock would retire as a conquering hero, but that wouldn't happen because CM Punk, again, was the best in the world. They were still walking through Sun Life Stadium as they were doing this. I thought a pretty cool shot. They were like coming out of one of the end tunnels and walked down the length of the field with the camera backtracking the whole time. So I like the way this looked aesthetically, besides the fact that it was another pretty good promo. Nothing really major here, just more of Heyman kind of adding on and Punk smirking and smiling. Another good promo.
Yeah, I thought, both guys really handled themselves well here. They hit all the right notes. They had the right tone. You know, visually, it was way more compelling than your standard arena promo in the WWE. So, you know, being on site helped, and they managed to craft, a really good promo that still gave The Rock quite a bit of ammunition to respond. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely working here. And I like where they're going, with the dichotomy and the tone difference between CM Punk and The Rock. And it's allowing, both characters to really shine. So this build thus far has been, least better in my opinion than what we saw from Cena and The Rock up until maybe, the final month before WrestleMania.
And then it is, we get another video of The Rock, but this was Rock and Sock kind of silly garbage they did throughout their time together, some of the funnier moments. And then it was Rock time. After commercial break, it was Rock time. He had the big entrance, big pop from the crowd, really played up to them, holding up the Miami University sign and that getting a little more pop from the crowd. And, it was everything you would expect it to be from The Rock coming back out in Miami. He did the finally The Rock has come home shtick, which got a big pop from the crowd. He gave a shout-out to Flo Rida, who was sitting there at ringside, and they pointed out that he was from Miami as well. Was it just me, or did Flo Rida get booed? Like, at first they cheered him, and then they booed him, didn't they?
Yeah, it sure seemed like he got some boos. He also, compared to WrestleMania, he must have cycled off of his performance enhancers or something, because holy crap, he puffed up. I don't know. Maybe it was just me, but he was wearing a really loose T-shirt, and he looked a lot smaller than he did at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it might have just been a T-shirt, I don't know, but yeah, he was jacked up at WrestleMania. He was, and I was kind of hoping he'd slap Heath Slater again just so he quit doing that stupid 3MD gimmick. Anyway, but The Rock went straight to his shtick. He, talked about how excited he was to be back in front of his friends and family. He wanted to continue what he started on Monday night, and he was disappointed that Punk didn't show up. And got a cookie puss chant going from the crowd. Punk said, Rock said he didn't care if Punk wanted to run down his hometown or his university. He cherished his memories of playing at Miami with his brothers Ray Lewis and Warren Sapp. He said he was home, and his family meant everything to him, and all CM Punk was doing was delaying the inevitable when he kicked his cookie puss ass at the Royal Rumble. That, of course, got a big pop from the crowd. The Rock started to continue there, but Team Road Scholars interrupted him, and I'd read the spoilers to kind of get to know what was going on here, but this would have been a bit of a surprise that they was, even when I read the spoilers, that they were the two that they had come out. I was concerned they would wilt under Rock's star power. I thought they did a very good job here. Sandow looked at Rock and says, may I beg your indulgence for just a moment, please, or allow me to beg your indulgence for a moment. And they went back and forth. He introduced himself as intellectual savior of the masses. He introduced his equal and his best friend. And I forget exactly how we put it, but the master of mustachio or the something of like that. So there's something about mustachios. Cody Rhodes, they said that they were not only there to help, but they were there to correct The Rock. He said that they would not, that Rock would not be champion. They would, actually Cody jumped at that point and said Rock would not be champion. They would because they had beaten Team Hell No, and they were going to win those tag team titles, and Rock should get out of the ring while he could. The Rock, jumped and said, let me get this straight. You come out here, dressed like you are with that thing on your lip. It takes a lot of gut. And then he came back to it. He goes, let me just say one thing. Sweet tap dancing Jesus, what do you have on your face? Cody kind of got petulant a little bit that I'm an adult. If I want to grow a mustache, I can grow a mustache. And just kind of stealing this back and forth at this point. Sandow jumps in and says, wait, how about a wager? I've been trying to find an apprentice. I've asked all kinds of people 3 questions. Nobody's been able to do it. How about this? You can answer all 3 questions. You can stay. If not, you have to go. Rock said, read the shirt, just bring it. They cracked about The Rock going to Miami, probably wouldn't be able to answer the questions and whatnot. But Sandow settles in and asks his first question, who was the 19th president of the United States? Rock responded, Rutherford B. Hayes, bitch. To which Sandow said, that's not what the B stands for. The second question was from Cody, who won the Oscar for Best Picture in 1993? The Rock again correctly answered Schindler's List. They started to settle in for the third question. Rock said, wait, let me ask you a question. And Sandow played it up very well, smiled and gloated, by all means, go ahead. He goes, what happens if you take a geological aggregate of minerals and take it to its lowest form? Sandow said, well, what you get is the rock bottom. And Rock said, absolutely correct, and then hit him with a rock bottom. Cody came after Rock at that point. He took the spinebuster, and then the people's elbow from the Rock. Then he grabbed the microphone. Rock, and both guys rolled the floor at that point. Rock grabs the microphone, does the big if you smell gimmick. To close out the segment, a lot of fun here. We talked about this a lot at the top of the show. There's, I don't know how much more there is to say, but I guess other than to say, I thought that Rhodes Scholars did reasonably well to hang in there with The Rock and not just be completely blown out by his star power. I'm not saying they looked like his equals by any stretch of the imagination, but they didn't look, he didn't just blow them out of the water and make them seem irrelevant.
Yeah, I actually thought they did really well here, just considering the situation. There was a couple of lines in there that were funny. The Rock, said, look at the shirt, just bring it. And then Sandow said, oh, Rock, congratulations, you can read, before he asked him the first question. I don't know if I got much of a response from the crowd, but I got a chuckle out of it. And then, after they did the Schindler's List bit, they got Lillian involved, and The Rock said, Cody looks like he spends about 20 hours a day on Craigslist, and they actually got a really good laugh. So there's a lot of good humor there. Most of it at the expense of Cody and his mustache, which is fine. That's what gaps ridiculous, and I think it makes sense to poke on fun at it. But overall, I thought it was a successful segment. They managed to give Sandow and Rhodes a little bit of a rub, and The Rock got to do his shtick and get a couple of jokes in, and the crowd, I thought, left at least this segment really charged up and happy. So I thought it worked really well. It wasn't an intense segment that focused on the WWE title match, but I thought CM Punk did that, and The Rock did. The Rock just took his digs early in the promo, talking about how fucking big it shows with the arena. So, they're probably saving most of those builds for Mondays, and we'll see that flush out. But this was a fun segment, and I think it accomplished probably what it set out to be, just getting crowd back into the show.
We know Rock has at least one more SmackDown appearance before the Royal Rumble. Do you think he can top this one?
I don't know. If he's out there with another comedy, I think if he was out there with Hell No next time, he could probably top it. Because those guys are funny all by themselves, and The Rock obviously can work in his ad-lib jabs too. So, there's plenty of of weird WWE characters that can be exploited for comedy segments if that's what they want to do. But I would hope The Rock's next SmackDown appearance is more intense and focused on his title match. But we'll see.
Speaking of weird WWE characters, they said, here's The Rock, so we're going to give you a bunch of garbage back-to-back, and you can't bitch because we just gave you a really long segment with The Rock. The first thing we got, our third match, Sheamus defeating 3MB at 38 seconds. That's right, 38 seconds for Sheamus to beat all three guys. Actually, to be fair, he only kicked Slater and covered him. After they ran around for a little bit trying to get away. Slater's the only one that was wise or stupid enough to get back in the ring, and he ate a bro kick for the big Sheamus victory. I don't understand the point. And then after commercial, we got our fourth match, which was almost as exciting. Team Hell No defeating the Primetime Players at 2 minutes and 14 seconds. That, other than the commercial break, back-to-back matches that could not have meant less. And, A gave us 3 and B to just look like ridiculous chumps. And then the Primetime Players, once again, a team I think they like a lot, a team they want to do something with, a team that I think has real potential. But they, they still stick them in these. They're kind of the jobbers of the tag team division right now. I don't understand what they're doing with any of these guys. But anything you want to say about either of these matches?
Yeah, you know, not particularly. I mean, the 3MB one was as dumb as you could have expected. But the tag match kind of surprised me because it looked like early on Brian was really going to start selling that knee injury, and I thought we would get a lengthier match out of it. But obviously that wasn't in the cards for what they had planned with the main event. But, yeah, I mean, it's confusing to say, you know, they seem to waffle in their commitment to tag division. You know, so frequently, even a couple of months ago, we heard all about this huge resurgence of tag team wrestling, and now it seems like they put two singles wrestlers on top of the division and watched it wither away again, which is really disappointing because I think they had some talented teams in there, but I guess we'll have to see, you know, what happens once they dethrone Team Valdo, and maybe they'll put some more effort into it again.
After commercial, we got the announcement that Eve and Caitlin for the Divas title would be on Monday's Raw, and I have to take just 2 seconds to point out here, Jake, that it's the 20th anniversary of Raw. It's supposed to be a big show, and all that's been hyped is a Divas title match and the return of Dr. Shelby. What in the hell?
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. I mean, I don't know if they're... You know, if they're still working on, you know, bringing in some more old school talent that they can't or don't want to announce, you know, just to keep the elements of surprise there, I'm not sure. But it is pretty bizarre that we haven't heard about, you know, Shawn Michaels or, you know, The Undertaker or some major star making an appearance who really has been with the company, you know, since the 20th anniversary, since the first Raw went on the air, I should say.
And then main event time, once again, fifth match, final match, Alberto Del Rio defeating Big Show, winning that World Heavyweight Championship, last man standing match, 17 minutes and 55 seconds. A lot longer match than I expected when I first read about this. I was really surprised at how long it went. And you know, I thought a really good last man standing match. I mean, better than I thought it was going to be, and maybe it was just low expectations, but I really enjoyed this match. I got to tell you what I thought was incredibly creative was how they got Del Rio past the WMD. You have Show hitting him with a big knockout punch. Del Rio rolls around on the mat for a little bit, and he starts to roll from the ring, and his legs roll first. And so he kind of slides out of the ring and lands on his feet. Ricardo Rodriguez standing there pointing and screaming at the ref. He's on his feet. The ref accepts it as making his feet, even though he's still out right there. And so Show goes to the floor to put him away, grabs the top part of the stairs and runs at Del Rio, but Del Rio ducks. Show slams the stairs, runs into them, into the post. He actually bent the stairs on the ring post. Show sold it as staggering him, and then Del Rio picked up the stairs himself, hit him two or three times with it. Show fell down back behind the announce table, and then Del Rio did a great display of how heavy the announce table is and really worked hard to push it over on top of Big Show. And that was enough. Big Show couldn't get out from underneath the table to make the 10 count. Del Rio declared the winner. Ricardo Rodriguez running around screaming about him being the winner, hugging him in the ring, and Del Rio, you know, doing the borderline crying thing. And the announce team did a good job of putting it over. I mean, they did a good job with this match. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I expected. But once you said, okay, this is the decision they were going to make, you have to be proud with how they delivered and executed this match, because I thought it was, again, it might just be low expectations, but it's not a five-star classic. I'm not saying, oh, my God, go out of your way to see it. It's not like that. But this was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I thought they did, better with the stipulation than I would have imagined. You know, there were some spots early on in the match where, you know, it kind of felt silly to be counting already. But, they worked down the stretch and had a few moments where it seemed like, you know, Del Rio, there was no way he was going to be able to answer the count. And you mentioned the one for the WMD, and they actually had two WMDs, that he ate throughout the match. So I thought, it was a great performance from both of these guys. You know, Big Show obviously works a much more methodical pace than Del Rio was able to turn it up to, and I thought Del Rio adapted well. You know, they actually managed to, you know, pace out this match, so it felt impactful by the time, he was hitting Show in the shoulder that he had damaged earlier in the match with the cross arm breaker. He hit him with the steps three times in the bad shoulder, and then dumped the announce table over onto the bad shoulder, and he couldn't answer. So, as far as psychology goes, I thought it was a great match, and I thought the performances were, you know, were good enough for both men to carry the suspense. And we saw a great reaction for Del Rio once the 10 count was awarded, and he was given the belt. So I mean, it worked. I was tepid, you know, throughout the night to the crowd reaction, because it didn't seem like Del Rio was getting as big of a reaction as you would hope for somebody who they seemed really interested in crowning the Latino hero for Miami. But you know, winning the title got him a major reaction, and I think you know, no small part of that goes to Ricardo, who really did a great job hyping up the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, they got there by the end, and by the end that crowd was hot for it. They popped big for the title change. They were counting along with the ref, especially when we got to about 7, and Big Show still hadn't moved, and people were like, wait, he's going to have to run to get out from underneath that table, and as the referee went to 8, you could just kind of see it spread to the crowd, oh my gosh, we're going to get the title change, and, you know, it's an effective way to turn a guy. You know, you put a title on him when people aren't expecting a title change, and do it in a way that makes him a clear babyface or heel, depending on which way you're going, and it worked it for him. The big question will be come Monday. How is that crowd Monday at Raw going to treat Del Rio? Are they going to be hot for him being the world champion? Are they going to be into his gimmick? Are we going to get maybe an explanation of or an idea of why that played out? I think that's when we're going to know how effective they've been. They were in Miami. They had everything stacked in their way. Big Latino population. Latino winning the title. You know, they set it up in a lot of ways to be able to connect well with the audience. And I don't remember where Raw is Monday, but I'm guessing it's not going to be the same demographic makeup as Miami. And so how is he going to be accepted by that Raw crowd? I think that'll be the telling moment. But that's it. That's the end of SmackDown. Anything you want to add before we get out of here, Jay?
No, not a whole lot to add. I think Monday's Raw should be, I mean, interesting at least. It seems like they, you know, they should have at least some, you know, returning superstars, you know, from, you know, the past 20 years of Raw making their appearances, and you know, they had the Divas match, and you know, Dr. Shelby, whatever. But I'm really interested to see what the future of CM Punk and The Rock will bring. I think there's a lot of things they're doing right there, and you know, to see if they can add some more intrigue to the Rumble match, which is you know, still kind of building up steam. But they only have a couple opportunities left to really you know, set this stuff up. So I'm hoping Monday's Raw, you know, follows up on the past two shows, which have been you know, better than the average.
And Monday's show is the 20th anniversary of Raw. Jason Powell will have all your coverage live on the site, as well as an audio review afterwards for .NET members. And here it is, folks. It's the big build. We are slowly making our way to the Royal Rumble. Between now and then, though, a quick TNA update. Jason Powell will have your full Genesis coverage this Sunday, along with an audio update for that show afterwards as well. And again, that one also members exclusive. So if you want access to both of those and be able to follow along Sunday night for Genesis, Monday night for the 20th anniversary of Raw on the ad-free version of the site, go right now. Don't wait till we're done with the podcast. We're saying goodbye, so feel free right now to go on. Head over to ProWrestling.net. Click on that right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign-up link. We will get you locked in. You'll be able to discuss it with all of our other members in the .NET member forum. Blog about it afterwards in the .NET member blog section. Great stuff, man. It's Rock and CM Punk. We're just a few weeks away from that. The build for that continues on Monday. Jason Powell will have your coverage. Until then, Jake and I will be back next Saturday with another audio review of the WWE SmackDown show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making ProWrestling.net your home for all your wrestling news on the Internet. We will see you guys back next Saturday. Until then, everyone, take care.